Good morning, brothers and sisters. Our Lord gives us a very strict and what can be seen as a very harsh teaching in the gospel today. Again, this comes from the lips of our Savior himself, and he's trying to explain to us how the Father will judge us at the end of our lives or at the end of time. And notice that the Master in the story, who clearly stands in the person of the Heavenly Father, his first response is always justice. So he's going to settle accounts with his servants. These are servants to whom he has lent money. And so he calls them forward, and one is brought forward who owes him, the scriptures say, a huge amount. It was so huge that this servant, the scripture says, could not have paid it back. It was just too big. It was too big to ever pay back. And so naturally, the master says, well, I want to get some of my money back, so he's going to sell him, his wife, his kids, and his property into slavery to at least get some of the money back. Now, that's just. That's fair. It may seem a little cruel, but trust me, that's perfectly fair. This man has incurred a vast debt, and the master deserves to be repaid. And even if he can't be repaid in full, he needs to be repaid as much as possible. But the servant is terrified, of course, naturally, as anyone would be. And he bows down before the master and he begs for mercy. And he says something, if you just give me time, I'll pay you back in full. Now, we already know from the gospel that he could never pay it back. So obviously, he was a little delusional. He was clearly terrified. But he was asking for mercy. More time, please. More time. And then this very consoling line from Jesus, moved with compassion, the master says, he's looking at the servant like a father to a child, and he realizes this child could never pay the debt. And so what does he do? He forgives the whole loan. He doesn't just say, look, I'll give you more time, pay back what you can. No, totally forgiven, you don't have to pay anything back. You, your family, your property, it's all free now. This is a tremendous act of compassion and kindness by the master. He's now out all of that money. This is a sacrifice on his part. And he's willing to accept that sacrifice out of love for his servant. Out of love for his servant. But we know the rest of the story. The servant goes on to one of his fellow servant, who the gospel says owed him a much smaller amount. A much smaller amount. It was basically something that could be repaid. It would just take a couple of years. And he throttles him and he says, pay back what you owe me. And it's the exact same scenario. The fellow servant drops to his knees, says, please be patient with me and I'll pay you back. Now, he doesn't say I'll pay you back in full, right? He just says, I'll pay you back. I'll do my best. But this first servant refuses and has the man put in jail. If you know anything about history, they were called debtors' prisons. And if you owed a debt, you could have the person arrested until their family paid back the debt. So that's why he had him thrown in jail. Now, of course, the master finds out about this. And he brings in the first servant, and he overturns his act of mercy. He overturns his act of mercy. And not only does he not sell him into slavery, what does he do? He gives him to the torturers. He gives him to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. Now there's a problem here. We already know he can't pay back the debt. So will he ever be released from the torturers? No. This is why the fathers of the church tell us, as we spiritually interpret this passage, we know that this man was sent to hell forever for refusing to forgive his fellow servant. He lost all of the grace, all of the compassion, all of the mercy that God was willing to give him because of his own pride and his own ego. I mean, we pray this every day in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We know that this is a requirement for a Christian. And if you think about it, mercy for yourself is a fairly selfish desire, right? I want God to forgive me. I want him to show mercy to me. And so when I forgive my neighbor anything, it's so that I can be forgiven. I do it for myself, first and foremost. Hopefully, as I grow in holiness, I'll start being merciful because I care about you and I see the good in you and I love you. But at first, I'm just doing it because I'm selfish. I want God to forgive me. Because if I don't forgive, our Lord tells us what will happen. We will not be forgiven, which means we will be damned. We'll be lost. That's it. It's very cut and dry. It's very black and white. And yet, how often do we struggle to forgive? How often? It's like this great effort that we make. I hear people say it all the time, Father, I'm really trying. I'm really trying to forgive. It's just too hard. I said, well, clearly you're not trying hard enough. You need to find a motivation, a reason to forgive. And we hear the reason that all of us should use in our first reading from Sirach. He says, in order to motivate you to show forgiveness to anyone who offends you for any reason, all you have to do is think about the end of your life and your own judgment. That's your motivation. You have to realize when you're brought before the Lord, he's going to decide on whether you deserve mercy or not. Now, he wants to show you mercy. He's willing to show you mercy. But if you have refused mercy to others, then you have none. And if that doesn't motivate you to forgive, then what will? I think it's important we remind ourselves about the nature of the commandments as they're given to us by God. And one of the basic rules that we learn from the saints, the fathers, is that the Ten Commandments were given to us in order of severity. Now, they're all severe. They're all serious. Such that if I break any of the Ten Commandments in a serious way, that's a mortal sin, right? That's a grave and mortal sin, and I could go to hell for that. That's how serious all of them are. Even the last one, envy and jealousy. Even that. But, although they're all severe, they're in order of severity. The first is a greater offense than the second, than the third, than the fourth, all the way down. Why is this important? Because it gives us an idea of the mind of God, and ultimately of truth. This makes sense when we look at the commandments and realize that the first three commandments are all offenses against God himself. It's the last seven commandments that are offenses against other human beings. Now, they're all offenses against God because God gave us the commandments. So, clearly that's true. But the first three are direct offenses against God. The last seven are indirect offenses. I sin against my neighbor, my fellow servant, and that's why I offend God. So, if we worship a false god, if we have any other god before the Lord, that's a serious sin, right? That's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Makes sense. He is the true God. We should not worship any other. The second is to keep the name of the Lord holy. Do not use his name in vain. And the third, to keep holy the Sabbath day. Now, these three commandments, the first three, are more grave and more offensive in the sight of God than the rest that follow. For example, adultery or murder. When was the last time you thought about that? That adultery and murder, which are far more human and personal offenses, If something like that happened to you, your spouse committed adultery or somebody murdered someone in your family, you would be far more offended and hurt than if you had used God's name in vain or missed Mass on Sunday without a good reason. And yet God is more offended by your sin than by theirs. When was the last time you thought about that? And yet the Lord in his compassion is willing to forgive you. So how dare you not forgive those who sin against you? It's always pride. It's only our pride. That is the only thing that keeps us from showing that same mercy. So this is a great burden that's placed upon us. We must overcome this pride that we have. And what will help you do this is by meditating upon the great offense that sin is to the Lord. And yet he's still willing to forgive. The more you comprehend how sin offends God, and yet he's forgiving, the easier it will be for you when you are offended to show compassion and mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.